is a good recording, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop
it.
Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning, Chief Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
Hey, man, it's not 25 degrees and it's not a blizzard outside.
That is true. We're getting a little bit of a November warm-up.
Yeah, we're going to have 50 degrees, man, for about a solid week. And that's balmy, right? Remember?
For sure.
But anyway, good morning to Richland Center, Amory, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Hayward, Racine, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Milwaukee, Waukesha, and all parts in between, and all of the rest of you across the Civic Media Network. I want to welcome my guest this morning, none other than a good friend, Senator Chris Larson. Good morning to you, Senator Larson. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. Good morning, Earl. Good to be back.
Yeah, man. So how did it go? You were out trick-or-treating with the little ones in the snow, in the elements. How did that go, man?
Yeah, I think I made the mistake of even asking if they wanted to go. Of course, you know, they want more candy. Yeah, the answer is yes. So yeah, we went out in Wauwatosa with some friends, and yeah, there was a lot of frigid kids stomping through the snow to get to make sure they were getting candy. The kids were happy; they did all right. You know, they were breaking their back trying to be able to hold the amount of candy that they got. So, well, I don't know where it's gone since it got home, but they got it somewhere.
Well, your wife has it. You know, she's the person.
That's right.
She's the arbiter. She's going to make sure that it's meted out properly, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, they did tip me too. They gave me the dots, which is not required, but appreciated.
You know, man, it's not even about the candy, right? I mean, kids, one of the things, Senator Larson, that this society has to do is allow kids to enjoy what we enjoyed as kids. And they don't get a chance to do that as much anymore. It seems like things are being taken away that kind of help in the development of who we are, and they're being forced to grow up too soon. Am I just an old fuddy-duddy, or are those things really taking place?
I mean, I think it's about the candy, to be honest with you. I don't think they have that larger sense of community just yet, but when they get older, they will. But absolutely, my kids could tell you exactly which house was giving out which candy. and there was a handful that were doing the full candy bars, full legend status. But yeah, no, it's. I feel like it is. When I was a kid, you know, there was that worry. You got to watch out for folks, and people are trying to, you know, throw
right.
razor blades or poison the candy. And I feel like that's not as prevalent. And especially in my neighborhood, where you know, a lot of folks drop off kids and come to trick or treat. It's a pretty open community, and you know, the kids have a good time. The adults are having a pretty good time too.
Well, let's get down to business, man. You know, I've always said, man, you are not. I can't think of either number one or number two out of the elected officials that I respect the most, because of the kind of work that you do and have done. How long have you been in the legislature?
Coming up on 13 years.
It's been that long, man?
Yeah, I know. I used to be young.
Hey, <man. laughs>
I appreciate the compliment.
Well, so you've never been in the majority, have you?
I was in the majority for 5 months. We convened, we swore in the senator to be able to get us into majority, and then we promptly gaveled out through the rest of the 2012 election cycle. After that, gerrymandering map kicked in, and then we've been under that ever since, where it, you know, it amplifies the Republicans to be automatically in the majority. But you know, that may all be changing. Actually, in just under 3 weeks, the Supreme Court is going to be taking up the case, of which I'm a part. I'm a subject of the lawsuit as an odd-numbered senator. So I'll be sitting in the courtroom hearing it, but we're hopeful that it finally tilts the map back to flat so that it's not rigged to give Republicans majority. So, you know, it's not just me fighting these fights and losing because of the way that the maps are set up and the way the legislature is set up, but we can actually get some victories, right? To actually increase the minimum wage, decriminalize and legalize marijuana in the state. Make healthcare more affordable, make sure that abortion is galvanized clearly moving forward in the state constitution, and so much more, making sure that the system's not rigged against the people who are working in our state.
You know, as a guy who's, you know, been around at least that long, and we've had to swallow the control, total control of government in the state, you know, under Dan Scott Walker and ushered in all of those kinds of things, and a Supreme Court that has been likewise controlled by conservatives and Republicans. It is refreshing, man, to say the least, that finally justice and it doesn't mean, and you know, that if Democrats now take control over things, they're going to be as ogreish as Republicans have been in their leadership, does it?
No, and in fact, I think that there is, you know, Democrats, generally speaking, I have more of a tendency to try to find consensus and build to a common goal. And take into consideration, you know, what are sometimes minority viewpoints. So I have no doubt that that'll end up continuing, you know, tearing down what we've seen. The tearing down that we've been seeing over the last decade is a lot quicker. It's a lot faster than the building up of what it'll take to actually make sure that there's, you know, that there is the ladder is built again for the poor to be able to get into the middle class, and for the middle class to be able to live comfortably without having to live paycheck to paycheck.
You know, man, let's get into this. A prime example of some of the egregious things that have been taking place, I think, is this whole debate on American Family, you know, ballpark. For people to, and there have been some changes to the original plan because they tried to stick it to Milwaukee and Milwaukee County again, and because of people like you on the Vanguard, you were able to force them to at least modify what they were attempting to do. And I know you didn't do it alone, but you were certainly a voice out there. What do you want to say to people who are listening from across the state about how important it is that we keep the Milwaukee Brewers, and the fact that, you know, the people who struggle in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County should have to pay an inordinate share of what it costs to keep that stadium up to par and going. What do you say? What?
Yeah, I mean, I think we do love our Brewers. I'm a big fan. I wish they would have won in the postseason. You know, congrats to the Rangers on getting their first World Series victory. Brewers, you know, I feel like they came really close, got knocked out by the Dodgers a few years ago and haven't been doing too well since. But, you know, we're not here to talk about the sports side of it. And I feel like, unfortunately, our love of our home team has been weaponized against us. So the threat that we've been hearing of saying, the choice is either you give the Brewers whatever they demand, or they'll leave forever. And while this feels new and fresh and unique just to us, and it feels like a slight, you know, where we feel like, well, gosh, are we worth having a team? Are we that good? And we have that self-doubt of Midwesterners. The reality is Major League Baseball has been doing this across the country. Of the 30 different franchises, this happens over and over. Anytime that they can extract public dollars for a stadium, they're doing it. You know, this happens with other stadiums and other sports as well, where a private business that is very profitable, you know, to the tune of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars being brought in over years. The reason they can save, they can make that much money is because the public is threatened, and they want them to pick up the cost of the stadium. So, point, you know, you made the point that Tommy Thompson is the one who delivered us this bad deal back in 1995, stuck us with a lease that is going to finally set to run out here in 2030. And before it finally ends, and frankly, we finally ended the sales tax just 3 years ago that lasted a whole heck of a lot longer than people expected it to. The Brewers pulled in a lot of money off of that. Now they're saying, well, not only do we want to extend that bad lease for another 20 years, we want even more money out of you. And by the way, do it as quickly as possible, again, with that threat that they might leave. And again, the reality is this is the game that they end up playing. The Brewers are not going anywhere. When the White Sox threaten this, they're not going anywhere. The Diamondbacks threaten this. This happens all throughout sports. Those are just the ones that are happening right now, including the Angels that are all doing this. And all of them, by the way, have a lease that expires sooner than the Brewers. So if it's a complicated thing, you know, your listeners don't need to dive into it. If they want to, they can. I've put out a few newsletters and have done town halls on it. I think the thing to break it down is the current lease is bad. We have the opportunity to get a better deal. The public demands a better deal. More than half of the people polled say that they want nothing to go to the Brewers. So we have the public on our side on this, and this is the time to chime in with your legislators to get something so, that benefits the public and not them.
So, Senator Larson, we've got to go to a break, but I, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that our governor, a Democratic governor, is pushing to get this done. We'll talk about that on the other side. Tom from L.A., we got to pay some bills. Be right back. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is State Senator Chris Larson. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Tom, you say what? Good morning.
Good morning, Earl. Morning, Chris. Chris, you are, first off, one of my favorite representatives, actually, in the whole country. I really wish that you would have actually won the governorship in Wisconsin, but maybe that's for a different time. Chris, the one thing I would ask is, you know, this country needs to know a little bit more about Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was a three-time winner of the presidential election, and I don't see Democrats coming out and saying, I am an FDR Democrat, and teaching the young generation what FDR actually was about. I see you as a person that's an FDR Democrat, and I would love for you to start, you know, bringing that back and saying, he brought us Social Security, he brought us the WPA, he brought us these different things. He believed in we, the people, are the government. And I would just love to see, you know, you do that. And also for you to come out as a very, very strong proponent, not that I don't take money from PACs and things like that, but just to say, we need to get money and lobbyists out of politics and restore government back to we, the people.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Senator Larson, you want to respond?
Thank you for that. I appreciate that, Tom. We actually have a good group of progressive legislators who are pushing for more economic justice at the state. We have something called the Economic Justice Bill of Rights, which is modeled actually after FDR's rights that he really pushed forward later in his term after recognizing that there was inherent inequality and that needed to be addressed. He also did a really good job of going after the ultra wealthy and making sure that that they were paying their fair share. But yeah, I mean, obviously every president has problems over the course of history and how it's looked at, but giving and establishing what would create the national parks through the CCC and with the New Deal to make sure that people had a leg up, he really did help establish the middle class. And there are students of history in the legislature who have signed on to that. I'm the Senate co-author. Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton are two great legislators in the Assembly who are the co-authors on the other side. So thank you for that. We're doing what we can. Would be great to have more legislators who are on the same page.
All right. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Good morning, Chris, and thanks for the wonderful job you're doing. How would you recommend taxpayers get accountability out of people like Robin Voss and these far-right people that are just nothing but obstructionists? They write no bills that reach across the aisle. They're so self-centered. Yes, I know we can go to the voters. We all know that. But right now, the messaging, how can we help the messaging bring more voters to be aware of what you and I both know? Thank you.
That's a really good question. I do think that, you know, I have a lot of people when I have community events will come up to me and how do we get rid of Robin Voss? You know, I'd never want to vote for him. And that's the one of the many downsides of gerrymandering is, you know, most people in the state don't get a chance to vote for him or against him, but he is just in charge because of that. I think, you know, having the gerrymandering lawsuit unrig the maps will certainly help. But I think the real thing is where Robin Voss gets his power is in him, you know, basically beating his chest and demanding that power and demanding people follow what he does. I continue to be amazed that that's still happening, even though he almost lost his last election, just with Trump, ripping into him a week before his election, he came within, just a little over 100 votes of losing. I do think he's going to be gone after this next election because he is disliked not just by Democrats, but by his own side for how he is more on the establishment side than in touch with the grassroots even over there. In the meantime, what you can do is demand your legislator stop paying attention to him. And that's not just Republicans. Unfortunately, some Democrats do cave. And I would point at some of the bills that are moving through right now, like the stadium. This horrible deal is one that he manufactured and really bullied people to sign on for, saying, well, if you don't vote for this and endorse this and stand with this, we're going to push for something that's even worse. And the reality is if you keep giving into that, things will keep getting worse and getting worse, and you never actually get what you want. So, you know, tell your legislators to push back against his threat tactics, because his power only comes from him being a paper tiger.
So, Senator Larson, what are we supposed to extrapolate from the governor who is trying to push the bill as well?
Yeah, I love the governor. I went out there, I worked for him in trying to get him elected the first time, and was, you know, sighed a 20-pound sigh of relief afterwards when he was reelected. But on this one, on this policy, he's just wrong. The brewers do not need a subsidy. I'm not sure why he decided to pay sticker price up front on this and has been trying to encourage people since. I think he might believe the scam that the brewers might leave. But frankly, you know, even if you take a step back, even if we were inclined to give a subsidy to the brewers, the baseline should be the Bucks deal that passed back in 2015. That set a standard of 50-50, 50% from the taxpayers, 50% from the team owners. And the cost overruns being picked up by the team, by the owners. Also, a ticket tax was implemented. You had project labor agreements to guarantee labor peace.
Right.
You set a new wage floor of $15 an hour, et cetera. None of those things are present in this. So it's in fact, the governor's position, unfortunately, has made it harder to negotiate. But I'm pretty confident, working with my Senate colleagues, that we're going to be able to get a better deal, or more likely this is going to get delayed for another 2 months because the brewers aren't willing to come to the table and actually negotiate just yet.
All right. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with the one and only Senator Chris Larson. We'll return shortly. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guess is State Senator Chris Larson. Senator Larson, we're coming to the end of the session, and been a long session. What are some of the takeaways and things that you are proud of the work that was done this past session, and what are you guys looking forward to in the coming session?
Yeah, I would say that it's continued to be frustrating with the Republicans in charge to actually get hearings and get things moving. I will say that I think that for the most part, there's been a coming down to earth of the Republicans recently. I think there's a recognition now that the maps are going to become untilted and they're going to have to face reality. Whereas before, you know, they had this artificial high because of the gerrymandering. And I've talked about this with my other Democratic colleagues. Suddenly our you know, Republican counterparts are a lot friendlier, a lot nicer. And I think a lot of it has to do with them realizing they have to go back and speak sanely if they're going to get reelected, and if they get reelected, to be able to work together across parties to get things done for the state. Now, that being said, There's still a faction that recognizes that the window is closing to be able to pass some extreme stuff. And so that continues to happen, but there's more of a pushback on it now than there has been, right? What that looks like is, you know, over 100 of the governor's appointments continue to not get votes. Others are being voted out, including a majority of the DNR board, including a member of the Wisconsin Election Commission at a time where we're coming up on one of the busiest elections in one of the busiest states in the country. There's also been a push to try and restrict voting access before everyone goes out of session. On the good side, though, there is more of an appetite to look at addressing drunk driving in the state. I am hopeful that whether this session or next session, we'll be able to get something done to have ignition interlock devices on all convictions, which would protect and save lives. 411,000 starts have been prevented when a vehicle has an ignition interlock device just over the last decade. So that's really keeping danger off of the streets and keeping people safer. So there is some good stuff that we'll be able to move forward in a bipartisan way, I hope. Otherwise, you know, we'll with the entire, if the redistricting lawsuit's successful, every state assembly member and every state senator would be up next cycle. And while that puts me up 2 years earlier than normal, I think it's good for the system to make sure that the legislature that comes in thereafter will be very reflective of the demands of the public, which frankly has been left behind. I feel like they've been ignored for over a decade, and you can see the results of that in terms of expensive childcare, school funding not getting its due, and people continuing to struggle and live paycheck to paycheck and feel like their legislature is not in touch with them at all.
You know, Senator Larson, you talked about over a decade, and it, you know, maybe it's, you know, it's a fiction in my mind, but I don't think it is. But at the same time that we've been experiencing this on a state level, other states have experienced the exact same thing because Republicans had this organized national agenda that was put in place that they were able to construct and then enact across the states of the United States of America. And it has left a lot of people in the lurch. It has alienated a lot of people, and people who voted for them in many instances, I think maybe were not aware that what these people were doing was hurting them as well. And so I think maybe what we're talking about, Senator Larson, is chickens coming home to roost, and now on state levels there can be, you know, legislation proposed and enacted that is not tied into national legislation, but what's best for the people who live in the states. Am I far off base with that?
No, I mean, I think that there has been this national push. You're absolutely right. And so, you know, there's the only thing you did mention is a group that's one of the major groups that's behind it is ALEC,
right?
Which is a Koch brothers funded organization that pushes this legislation that's good for big business and not really great for the rest of us. And yeah, I think having the major side effect, in addition to you know, stacking the deck so that the rich are doing even better, corporations are paying minimal, if any, taxes. The rich are paying minimal, if any, taxes in Wisconsin. The other side effect is people just stop calling their legislators. They just assume that this is just kind of the way that it is, and that, you know, their calls are not going to go answered anyways. And I do think Wisconsin is the worst in the country for that, where, you know, people feel like things are wrong, but they also feel like they can't actually make a difference by calling their legislator because the deck is so stacked. And that's I think is frustrating, because frankly, a lot of the problems that we see, you know, they're so great that one person can't fix them. But if we band together and work together, we can, right? I think of the huge cost of childcare that makes it impossible for people to grow a family to the size of their own choosing. because it is way too expensive for them to be able to set and send their kids to childcare while having a full-time job. I think of the fact that minimum wage in Wisconsin continues to be at the same federal low it was in 2009, whereas every other state has moved their minimum wage up. You think of the fact that Wisconsin is one of the last 10 states to not do the Medicaid expansion, which would frankly save us money and cover more people. Those are just a few of them that I hadn't already mentioned that, frankly, the people in the state have vast majority support for, but continues to not even get hearing.
But those few that you just mentioned, let's take minimum wage. What is it, $7.50? Well, I don't know, whatever it is.
$7.25.
So, yeah. I'm sorry. Well, $7.25. And yet there are people who, when I bring that up, their response is, well, nobody's paying $7.25. Well, you know, if it remains at $7.25 and then somebody pays $11, then they can make the debate or the argument as backwards as it is. Well, they're not paying $7.25. They're paying $11, whatever that is. $11, $15, mm-hmm. It's still a poverty rate, Senator Larson. When we talk about the cost of things today, there's it's almost impossible for people to make it on $12 an hour. I mean, there was a battle for 15 that died, mm-hmm. and yet people are still struggling. And then you talk about the daycare, and I remember, of course, I'm a bluebeard, but when daycare was affordable for everybody, you know, even if you made $10 an hour. But daycare today is the cost of a mortgage if you've got two children.
Right.
And so the response that I hear from people, especially on the right, is, well, you shouldn't have had the kids. Well, that's ludicrous. But that kind of argument is what puts us in the kind of position we're in now, Senator Larson.
Yeah, if it is individualized, where people feel like, oh, I'm on my own, then yes, the message very clearly being sent right now by the leaders of Wisconsin and the leaders of our country is don't have kids.
Yes, right?
Which is, and then people get frustrated with well, oh my gosh, how come population is decreasing in the state of Wisconsin? How come young people, the population is trending older and young people are leaving? Well, we're sending a clear message where if we, frankly, Earl, we have not increased how much we are spending on K-12 education in the state. When you adjust for inflation, it hasn't increased in 16 years. On top of that, you mentioned, you know, we've talked childcare. The cost of sending two kids to childcare is more expensive than sending them to college. And the cost of sending kids to college isn't cheap. People, it is a huge cause of debt. It is causing younger people who would normally be buying a house and starting a family to delay it because they have mountains of debt from college. And by the way, 40% of people who hold college debt don't have a four-year degree because they're not able to be able to find that work once they start going and accumulating the debt. So we're sending a very clear message to people in a broad way not to have kids, and which is fine as an individual choice. You know, not everyone is cut out to be parents. But when we're sending that message, it's also sending a message in the future that says don't have hope. Don't have hope for the next generation. Don't invest in the next generation. And that's the larger problem, that we're sending that message from the rich and from those who run government that you should not have hope as a generation. And you see the despair. You see all the other problems that flow from that. So it's a deeper problem that we aim to solve. And I think that we can do that by building up democracy and making people feel that their voice does matter in it again.
You know, Senator Larson, and at the same time, we're sending that message. Corporations are saying we don't have enough people to work the jobs. And at the same time, they're coming up with that message. Hey, we've got to stop those people down at the border. I mean, it just is nonsensical. Senator Larson, what's been going on.
Changing the fabric. It is right. It is changing the fabric of who we are as a country to be able to say we're not allowing, you know, allowing growth or investing in the next generation or investing in the future. It is antithetical to you know, we haven't always lived up to it as a country for sure. But we've always had that hope, right? The idea of who is a full American and who is an aspiring American and having that access to the American dream has always been one of growing up until recently, where now it's shrinking. And now we're acting like the, you know, it's like when somebody's trying to merge onto the freeway, you know, or when you're trying to merge on the freeway and somebody's acting like they've been on the freeway all, you know, their whole life. Right. Like, oh, no, you can't merge here. I've been here forever. You were here because somebody made room. Right? We can, and we do better when everybody's doing it, when traffic can flow along. You know, and to extend the analogy, not only are some of the more ardent racists and xenophobics blocking that, they're also slowing down the entire highway. Right. I was driving to Madison, like I do a lot, and there was two big buses that were blocking the two lanes the entire way. And I was like, this is symbolic of exactly where we are as a state, where they were going 10 miles below the speed limit. And you don't have the ability to move forward because they're blocking it. And frankly, one of the things that you know, what we finally did was, we pushed up against and finally they moved to the side. And I feel like that needs to happen as a state, where people demand it and say, you know what, we are being held back by this artificial restriction, by people being pitted against each other, and we're not going to allow for it. That's not what America is.
It's a great analogy, Senator Larson. We've got to pay some bills, and important messages are coming up next. We'll be right back.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force has got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel like that.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is still State Senator Chris Larson for a few more minutes. Let's go to the phone lines and Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Good morning to you, Ken. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
All right. What's up?
How come the Democrats keep and the rich don't pay taxes? I have an accountant in Green Bay that takes care of numerous Packer players that sends $1 million checks in state taxes every year. So why do you keep spewing that same garbage over and over
What garbage?
Your Democratic congressman said the rich don't pay taxes again.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. Senator Larson. They don't pay their fair share. Well, first off, they don't pay their fair share. Nobody ever said they don't pay taxes. They clearly have ways. The more money they have, the more ways they have of not paying their fair share. Go ahead, Senator Larson.
Yeah, no, I think that there is a tendency where you know, the rich are using their largesse to be able to say, woe is us, look how much we're paying.
But the rates right now are much lower than they used to be. Right back when we were talking about FDR, you know, tax rates were over 70% for corporations and the rich, and that money flowed down to invest in public works and things that were good for the public. Now that money is hoarded by the top under the guise of trickle down and saying, ah, eventually it'll come back to you. But people are buying these nesting doll yachts where it's a yacht and a yacht with a submarine on it. And that if you're a submarine manufacturer, good for you. But for the rest of us, the public school funding continues to dwindle. Roads continue to fall apart. We struggle to be able to hire correction officers and other public servants. If you look at just the 400 billionaire families in the U.S., they paid an average tax rate of 8.2%. The average American at the same time is paying almost double that. And so they're not even paying the same rates, much less, you know, being able to pay more to be able to give back to the generation after of them. So if it weren't dollars, if these were, you know, winter jackets during a cold spell and they were hoarding all of these things together, if it were actual food and they were hoarding all of the food, I think it'd be pretty clear that this is unequal. And frankly, this should be shared with everybody. Nobody gets to the top by themselves. And so it's just a matter of being able to pay back so that everyone has access to the American dream, which is not to become a billionaire necessarily, but just to make sure that they're not struggling paycheck to paycheck. That is unfortunately not happening, where the rich are using the system to rig it. And by the way, on the other side of it, one of the main things in the last 2 days the Republicans in the House are using is to try to defund
the IRS,
to go after the richest tax cheats, even though this is going to increase the deficit by billions of dollars because, of course, the rich, as the caller mentioned, are hiring an army of accountants to try and get out of their taxes. So the IRS should hire that to make sure that they're actually
paying
their
Senator
taxes.
Larson, we take in approximately $2.7 trillion a year. It leaves $482 billion that are taxes that should be collected because the IRS doesn't have the team that they need to go after that. And that $482 billion that's not being paid yearly, the majority of that is from the wealthy. Let's go to Bill from Grant County. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what, sir?
Yeah, I say that you guys are really screwed up on this immigration deal here. We've got an influx of 6 million illegal aliens in the last 3 years. They just rush over the border. They go everywhere, who knows where. Every state is a border state now. And it's out of control. If Mayorkas says it's under control, yeah, really. I mean, come on, guys.
Senator Larson, I don't think any of us have said that what's going on at the border is the optimum, but clearly people have been trying to fix it. Democrats have been trying to fix it. And yet, you know, it just can't get the cooperation necessary. You say what?
Yeah, I mean, there's always been immigration into the country. And frankly, the fact that we are a great country and one that people aspire to get to, I think is a good thing. I think it's good to be a place that is desired. And frankly, one of the things that if we want to actually try and address the immigration problem, we have to make sure to fix the ills that we helped cause
in
those
nations.
And South America.
Absolutely
right.
Correct. You know,
right. Otherwise, if we help create those problems, and so now that is why people are coming here, because their governments are unstable through the work of Henry Kissinger and others. They helped destabilize those countries. We have to right those wrongs. We can't just say, we burned down your government and made it awful. You have to go figure it out now on your own. We have to repair that. And I think that's part of the important dialogue we haven't had. But again, frankly, you know, welcome your neighbors. We should be, for people who are aspiring Americans, reject the xenophobia and frankly, recognize the fingerprints that are on these attacks to try to get you to fear immigrants when the larger problem is, frankly, the rich and the corporations who are trying to pit person against person to make you feel like they're the problem, that immigration is the problem, when there is so many problems we could solve if we band together and recognize who is actually causing the problem.
Senator Larson, as always, man, a breath of fresh air. Always great having you on. I say it every time, but I got to make sure that I follow through. We got to have you on more. Thank you.
Happy to be on. Thank you, Will.
Tell the family, kiss the babies for me.
I will.
All right. So,